Waleed, what was it that got you to switch from being a Muslim to a Christian? Was it just the fact that you were beginning to become Americanized? What happened?
Well, how did I become a Christian is a long story. I didn't recognize my mother was a Christian, you know, believe it or not. She was an American, and her family connection was my great-grandfather was one of the best friends of Winston Churchill.
Okay.
So from my Arab side, my grandfather was the best friends with the Führer of the Arab world, which was Haj Amin Husseini, the friend of Adolf Hitler, the personal friend of Hitler.
He admired Hitler, didn't he?
Oh, yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Nazi war machine was composed of 8 divisions. 2 of them were Muslim fundamentalists. People don't recognize that.
No, Islamic I did not know that.
Yes, the Albanian and the Bosnian SS division. There's 8 divisions, 2 of them were Muslim fundamentalists. You can even look up on the internet. You can find pictures of Muslim fundamentalists worshipping Muslim style.
Mm-hmm.
Right in Nazi Germany. And they destroyed 90% of the Jews in Bosnia and burned thousands of churches. I mean, it was they were the most kind of horrific of the Nazi war machine. So they existed there. The Islamic movement was going on from the time that the United Kingdom or the British Empire kind of just defanged the Ottoman Empire from jihad and introduced secular systems and secular government in Turkey. So I had this family from both sides. I had, you know, connection to Churchill, connection to Haj Amin Husseini, yet my mother was never allowed to express her view. She would study the Bible secretly, and I caught her one time. She had a secret Bible with her. And I used to have a habit of smoking, which I still do.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my Christian friends say it's an anathema for me to smoke cigarettes. So I say, well, the Bible says that your body is the argument is that, you know, they say your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I said, okay, if my body is a temple, they used to burn incense in the ancient temple. And God said it was a sweet, it was a sweet aroma to my nostrils. God used to say. So until Zola Levitt, he's a Christian, he's a Christian TV program, told me, but Waleed, they burned the wrong incense and God struck him dead at one time, you know, so don't burn the wrong incense in that temple. So anyway, I used to steal her cigarettes and I caught her with a Bible and I said, you know, Mom, why are you studying the Bible? You were supposed to be a Muslim. Because supposedly she converted to Islam, having to live in the Middle East with my father. The pressure to convert to Islam is tremendous. This is why you never see, you rarely ever see a Muslim girl marrying a Christian boy. It never happens because she will be executed by her family. It becomes an honor killing. So if my sister fell in love with a Christian or a Jew, she had to be killed.
Oh my God.
That's how it is. I'm asking the question to all your audience. Did you ever hear a Muslim girl marrying a Christian or a Jewish boy? It happens. It's very rare, but it's not common. The commonality is a Muslim man will marry a Christian woman. So she was one of these, you know, and she kept her faith secret. So I told her that I was going to turn her in and tell my father that she's studying the Bible. And she told me, okay, if you tell your father about that, I'll tell him about your cigarette habit.
Well, she got you there, didn't she?
Yes, she used her American mind. So we cracked a deal. I asked her questions at that time. It was, you know, young 16, 17-year-old kid. Asked her questions about, you know, does the Bible tell you we will have a Palestinian state? Here I was a revolutionist, you know, ideologist. She says, well, in the Bible it does mention about the land being divided in Joel chapter 3. So you will have a Palestinian state. However, the end result of the Palestinian state will not going to be good. It's going to be tremendously awful, and it's going to create a major war. She told me all these things. It's amazing how right she was.
Yes.
Because I remember in the Oslo Peace Accord, I was looking at the television. That's when I was doing the research into the Bible. I saw Yasser Arafat, you know, shaking hands in the White House lawn, and I said, well, you know, this is what my mother's been talking about, you know. How did Joel know, you know? So I became convicted into studying the Bible. And, of course, at that time I was married to a Mexican-American girl, and I was going to convert her to Islam. And she asked me, she says, you know, you say that the Bible is corrupted. Because, you know, all Muslims from our area, from my family, you know, believe that the Bible was corrupted. It was changed. It was fabricated by the Jews, of course. The Jews were prophet killers. The Jews spread mad cow disease. The Jews caused tsunamis, earthquakes, Shylocks. Everything in the book we thought about Jews, you know, we were just pure racist. So she said, well, where are the corruptions? Show me the corruptions. So I said, well, I don't know where are the corruptions. She says, why do you say that something is corrupted, has been changed, and you can't show me where the corruptions and the changes are? Do you believe things that you don't have facts about? So that was a challenge to me.
She got you there, too.
Yeah. It was always a woman, you know, either my mother or my wife.
Yeah.
So I guess love conquers all. So I started studying. I bought a Bible for $10 and started looking at it. And I've discovered that God was a God of love, you know. I said, well, you know, this is all about love. The whole book is about love, about the coming Messiah to give his life for the sins of the whole world. We'll love one another, do good unto those who do evil to you. Look at these, you know, log in your eye before you pick at the speck on your, you know, brother. And I was very interested in this book. So I started reading from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I spent a year studying it. Then I was fascinated with looking at the Jewish history. I said, well, you know, maybe I should give my enemy a chance and try to understand my enemy's perspective. You know, maybe my enemy isn't bad after all. I mean, what is wrong with these Jews? So I even took a trip to Israel. I went for a trip to Israel. I sat on the plane. And next to me was a Jewish lady from Rome to Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. So I sat next to this Jewish lady, and I didn't want her to know that I'm Palestinian. I wanted to strike a conversation with her. So I told her, ma'am, my name is Bill. I'm from California, and I'm going to visit the Holy Land. I didn't roll my R. So she said, oh, really? I said, well, ma'am, do you have any kids? And she said, yeah, I have two daughters. They're serving in the IDF. I said, ma'am, how do you feel about your daughters killing Arabs? And the lady started sobbing. So here I am giving her tissue, you know, and she's crying. I said, why are you crying? She says, I know. She said, I hate to even think of the thought of my daughters killing any Arabs. And I says, what? And this is the first time really I had an encounter with a Jewish person.
Yes, who showed you some humanity, right?
Yes. And here I was like, I lived in Israel 18 years, and I never really ever spoken to a Jew. What is it about these Jews that is so horrific, you know? So I said, maybe she uncovered my cover here. And I don't understand it. So I went to Ben-Gurion, I went to my village, and I decided to take a trip to Hebron one time. And then the taxi cab driver, you know, stumbled in this event where the Jewish community would take a bus in Hebron. It was a Kiryat Arba, which is a Jewish community that lived in Hebron.
Right.
Here's a small Jewish community living amongst, you know, this huge amount of Arabs around them. And they hated each other. And so the Arabs started stoning the bus, you know, and bullets started flying in the air by the Israeli army trying to, you know, disperse the crowd. And you could see the stones covering the bus like locusts. I mean, I'm not talking about simple stoning. I'm talking about boulders of rocks just flying like locusts on the bus. And then you could see the bus has bars and wire mesh and bulletproof glass. And the community got onto the bus, and kind of the bus took off, and the taxi cab driver was going to make a U-turn and get out of the situation. I said, stop right here. I want to see this. And I rolled down the window, and I watched, and you know. And I said, wait a minute. I used to be part of this crowd.
You were one of the rock throwers a long time ago.
That's right.